Slow down. You're not in a race. Alcohol-related deaths are one of the leading preventable causes of death in Canada. Please remember to drink responsibly.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories, eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Hey, 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 you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM at UBC Vancouver from unceded Musqueam territory. Coming up in the next, we have White Noise, a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show. I'm your guest host today, Sierra Wiley. And tonight, I'm joined by demoted ex-host Simon Welton and Connor Nekoput. How are you guys doing?
Good, cheers.
Yeah, very good. Excited to be with you here for International Women's Day.
Yeah, represent.
Yeah, how does it feel to be the second sex today, guys?
I've always been the second sex in this relationship.
Anyway, yeah, as you guys may have guessed, I'm hosting as I'm the only woman of this threesome. And because it's International Women's Day, thought we'd represent.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, great to have you guys here. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to some White Noise.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by President Trump's Planned Parenthood. You better plan for parenthood. First up tonight is an advert.
From the people who brought you Grandpons, the postmenopausal tampons, and the Watching Sport sports bra, the most comfortable way to eat nachos, comes the latest and greatest invention of them all, single packet Viagra. It's for all those ladies out there who just don't know if their blind date is going to need more than a helping hand. Maybe he's forgetful. Maybe he's had one too many. Maybe he's just having an off night. You can be there to set things straight. It's streamlined, one dose design, fits in most designer handbags, and that weird little pocket on the inside of your yoga pants. It even comes in female-friendly pink packaging, so this seems less depressing. Speak to your doctor today about medication for someone else you haven't even met yet. Warning, if erections last more than 4 hours, consider yourself a lucky woman.
I've never needed to take Viagra. I'd need to have a girlfriend first. Next up tonight, someone's in prison.
Excuse me, are you the warden?
Yes.
I have a complaint to make.
If it's about the food, yes. It is meant to give you diarrhea.
No, it's about another inmate. You see, yesterday, in the showers, somebody raped me.
I see. And what were you wearing?
What, in the shower? Nothing!
Sounds like it could have been a bit your fault.
What?
I mean, with those doe eyes and that eyeshadow.
It's a black eye!
Well, really, I'm sure you enjoyed it.
How dare you? He was not even my type.
Well, you're in prison, so beggars can't be choosers.
Look, if you're not going to take this serious, I'm going to have to go above your head.
Good luck with that, sugar tits. Now, back to coloring.
Oh, there you are, Jane. Come on now, back to the psychiatric wing.
I've never been to prison. My lawyer is really good. Next up tonight, someone is browsing.
Nope. Gross. Wood bang. No. Ugh, no. No thanks. Maybe? Yes. Yes. Never in a million years. Every day for a million years. Yes, if he has a big dick. Yes, if he has a small dick but knows how to use it. Definitely yes. After 4 drinks. Nope. Nope. Fuck yes. And a hard no.
Tinder again, Helen?
No, just looking through my high school yearbook.
My high school thought it was pointless to publish yearbooks, as none of its graduates could read. Next up tonight, men are talking.
Clive, I have to tell you, you look amazing tonight.
Oh, Josh, that's so sweet of you. I really needed that. You as well. I love how you're wearing pants with a belt.
Wow, I really needed that. I love your hair. Did you trim half a centimeter?
Maybe.
And gel it back a slightly different angle?
I really did. I'm so glad someone noticed. You know what? Your skin looks fantastic, by the way. Have you had a chin tuck?
Oh, nah, dude. I found this Himalayan matcha tea scrub infused with Andean llama saliva. It's fabulous. I had to sell a kidney in Kathmandu, but it was totally worth it.
I bet. So, how are things going with Rebecca these days?
It could be better. I don't think she values our relationship like I do. She never wants to cuddle, even when I've just gone down on her.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
My jaw won't stop clicking.
Any woman in her right mind would murder to be with the 4th best river dancer in British Columbia.
Oh, Clive, what did I ever do to deserve you?
I ask myself the same thing each night. Ooh, don't forget James.
Oh, yes, how are you, James?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Your acne is so much less angry than it was, isn't it, Clive?
Oh, yes. Marginally.
Wow, guys. Sorry, I'm not used to getting compliments. It's very overwhelming.
I think it's so great that 2 heterosexual men can show affection to each other like that.
Sure, but right in the middle of Bill's funeral.
I want to be more emotionally open, just not with other people. Next up tonight, time for some sport.
Welcome back to the Sex Positive Games. The only thing to be ashamed of here is being a prude. We now go over to the team synchronization, where U.S. competitors Allie, Harriet, and Judith have synced their periods after a world record 2.37 seconds. Over to you, Beth.
Thanks, Jeff. Nearing the end of the individual competition is Gonzalo from Spain. He's at reason 32 for why he can sleep with as many partners as he likes. Despite slipping up early on with a few uses of the word conquest, he has so far managed to avoid discussing the size of his endowment. With 9 mentions of consensual so far, he's on track for a fine finish.
Topping today's midday leaderboard in the Shaming Slut Shamers event are the Dutch. They've created 6 colorful protest signs using glitter, highlighters, and misspelled words for what we'll assume is some sort of deeper purpose. Going topless, but for nipple covers, they've even created a wonderful and downright catchy song. Let's take a listen.
Stop hating on our choices. We've got much higher voices. We can wear whatever we want. Must suck to live without a cunt.
It's like Shakespeare and Bob Dylan had a baby.
Moving over to the self-empowerment event, we have Canadian competitor Anna, who is currently racing at 20 self-esteem points higher than the usual after her brand new makeover and $300 dress. She's currently skipping down the street, singing with the birds and the other woodland creatures. It's very empowering. Oh, wait a moment. She's even started waltzing with the homeless man. That's going to add 3 more points to her current score. Way to go, girl.
In the drawing room, we have the Norwegian co-ed team taking part in genital sketching. Each competitor, one boy and one girl, from each country, has 15 minutes to create a self-portrait of their own genitalia. We're nearing the end of the 14th minute, and the results are baffling.
Greta seems to have drawn the Eye of Sauron, while Jan has drawn a penis about 5 times larger than his own. In fact, it's coming off the page. It also seems to be at climax, which is not the state he's in, which doesn't explain why his pages appear to be stuck together.
Over now to Catcall Alley, where we have our final event of the day. A silence has descended over the proceedings as the Colombian team are now in position. It'll be hard to top the Japanese performance from earlier. Setting the pace, they were able to resist 100% of potential catcall opportunities and managed to confine themselves to inane giggling and hushed whispers. See, it's not all that bad to grow up shy.
Our model is now ready at the top of the alley, and away she goes. So far, so good. She's passed several of the Colombians, and so far they've only exchanged shifty glances and a couple of finger hushes. Halfway, she turns the corner.
Hey, mamacita!
Ooh, that's gonna lose them some points. His teammates are furious. I think I can even see a shiv being sharpened.
The model is now finished. Hold the phones a second, folks. The Colombians are surrounding the umpire in protest. Oh, they're mad. It seems that they're suggesting that she was asking for it. Oh, poor move, gentlemen. That's an instant disqualification.
And almost instantly, they make a beeline for the village brothel. Poor chaps, that must have been hard on them.
Well, that ends a tense, but exciting, and absolutely positive day at the Sex Positive Games. Join us again tomorrow for some more action, including the anti-genital mutilation slalom.
Beth, I would like to let you know that I have a large erection for you right now.
I respect that and am very flattered, but I am not looking for consensual sex with you this evening.
I respect that, Beth. By the way, you look wonderful in your skinny jeans, and a very tasteful thong, too.
That's a bit too far, Jeff. However, I admire your dick sock as well.
Thank you. I thought the bow tie was a nice touch.
I think I have a positive idea of sex. I'm pretty positive I know what it is. Next up tonight, Dick Wireless is back!
Another day at the office. Better check on the budgerigar. Oh, it's dead. I wonder if it was the food. Oh no, it shot itself. Maybe I should get some pictures to brighten the place up, or just some more bullets. Come in.
Mr. Whiteless?
At your service, Mrs.?
Mrs. Cavernous, Fanny Cavernous.
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Cavernous. What can I do for you?
The usual story. My husband has suddenly started working late into the evening, and I'd like to know what he is really doing.
I see. And where does he work?
A breakfast cafe, hence my suspicion.
Ah, and has he ever done a similar thing before?
No, but I've been cheating for years, so it's about due.
Oh no! Poor Fanny Cavernous! Thanks for coming back, Mrs. Cavernous.
Any news?
Yes, I followed your husband for several days, and I have a clear understanding of what's going on.
So he is cheating?
No, nothing like that. He's actually, he's line dancing.
Line dancing?
Yeah, in full cowboy gears, spurs and all.
Gah, why couldn't you just say he was humping another woman?
I don't like country music, but I would never put it down. All music has a purpose. It's just the purpose of some of it is to amuse the intellectually challenged. Next up tonight is an interview.
Good evening and welcome to Pioneering People. I'm David Seenamall. And tonight, I'm joined by the inventor of one of LA's hottest trends, Henry Lawrence, creator of anal bleaching. Good evening, Henry.
Good evening, David.
So tell me, Henry, where did you come up with the idea?
Well, like all good ideas, I was doing my wife from behind with the lights on, and everything became clear.
I see. So, was your wife your first patient?
Oh, no. No, my dog was my first patient. You know, I had to try a few different bleaches out before we stopped the scarring. And it confused the shit out of the other dogs at the dog park. They didn't know what to make of his ass.
Right. And so it's now safe for people to have?
Absolutely. I'll make you look brand new, I promise.
It seems, though, that this product is targeted at women, which raises its own concerns.
Not at all. Gay dudes love them too.
Oh, I see.
No one is saying you have to have one unless you work in porn. I just think the option should be there for those who want them.
So this isn't a heightening of the already suffocating sexualization of women into spending money to further a fabricated stereotype of beauty?
No, it's a clean-looking butthole. Get over it.
I wouldn't get an anal bleaching. It would make the rest of me look dirty. Next up tonight, a couple are arguing.
Honey, I was thinking, we should turn our garage into an auto shop so I can fix up an old car.
No, I'm putting my foot down. You are not getting a garage.
Wow, that is so sexist.
What?
You think I can't have it because you say so?
Linda, we're married. I have a say.
No, I am a free and independent woman, and I want a garage.
You already have a wood shop, a bakery, a welding room, and an origami studio.
This is oppression!
I was captain of my school's origami team, but then I had sex. Next up tonight, two men are chilling.
Dude, can you ash in the ashtray, not on my cat?
Fine, chill out, man. Don't be a little bitch.
Dude, don't say bitch.
Why not? You're being a little bitch.
It's derogative to women. Call me an anal retentive whiner. Or, no, better yet, just stop being an inconsiderate asshole.
What are you, a feminist?
Yes.
That makes no sense. You're not even a girl.
So? I don't have to be black to disagree with racism. It's called empathy.
How did you catch that?
It's not a disease. It's called giving a shit about people.
Actually, it's the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. I was just fucking with you.
Oh, sorry. So you are a feminist?
Nah, fuck that. I'm making America great again.
I am a feminist. Mainly to get laid. Next up tonight, someone is trying to be published.
Serena, thanks for coming in today. We really appreciate you meeting with us at Cleopatra Publishing, where the only thing as shallow as our mission is our koi pond.
Thanks, Judith. I'm so happy that such a reputable publisher is picking up my book. Considering the Taco Bell cashier has memorized my value menu order and my cat is threatening to leave me, I could really use the publishing advance.
Ooh, well, that's actually what I called you in to chat about. You see, we can't give you the advance until you make a few changes. Your book, Humanism in the Age of Technology, A Skeptic's Guide to a Godless World and the Erosion of Human Intelligence. It's anti-feminist.
What? It's not even about gender.
Exactly. Real feminists write about women's issues. Are you really a feminist, Serena?
Of course. Have you read my blog? It's all about the struggles of an ambitious female writer contending with a male-dominated entertainment industry and the ludicrous double standards.
Great! Maybe if we were to take out some of the more controversial stuff and add in some juicy details about your sex life, we could score a romantic comedy script deal.
It would make a much better black comedy film noir, but regardless, my book isn't about feminist issues. Can't I be published without only pandering to a female audience?
Well, sweetie, I find elementary reading level erotica that glamorizes unconsensual sex is much more appealing to female consumers.
But my book is good, and you're rejecting it because of my gender rather than my ideas, and that's sexist.
Whoa, calm down. We can't be sexist. There's at least one woman on our board of directors. And don't forget, our company is named after one of the most powerful women in history.
I'm not sure Cleopatra is the greatest figure to emulate. She married two of her brothers and tortured servants for fun.
But she looked fantastic doing it. All I'm asking is for you to add in some scenes that might appeal more to the average Canadian woman. Maybe something about how best to match flannel and denim to attract the least wholesome men at the Calgary Stampede.
Look, can't you just give my book a chance? I'll happily edit it as long as my message still comes across. I have to prove to my parents that my 50 grand liberal arts degree was totally worth it before I ran off to Thailand for artistic inspiration.
Look, Serena, I like you, so I'll be honest. Personally, I like the book. But we're owned by Cosmopolitan, and if I want to keep my job, then I have to reject any content that runs too contrary to our brand. You get it, right?
Yes, I understand. I guess I'll just have to go back to self-publishing online to an empty void and beg for my job back as a novelty porn director.
I once tried writing a book, but then I realized I didn't have any talent. Next up tonight, someone's upset.
Dad, Mom, I'm 18 now, and I want Alex to sleep over in my room.
That's great, hon.
I'll put some condoms in your nightstand.
That's it?
Fine, I'll get some lube, too.
No, I mean, why aren't you more bothered by this?
Well, we can't stop you having sex.
And I'd rather you did it somewhere safe instead of the rat-infested hole I used to have sex in.
Leave my mom's house out of this.
But what if I get pregnant?
Fine, I'll get the morning after pill too. Happy?
Where's the resistance? The intense screaming? I miss the old days.
Calm down. You know they finally got your dad on the right tablets. You will have to go elsewhere to find your drama.
Ugh, fine. I'll go see if Grandma is still up. I've been waiting ages to tell her rice pudding tastes like catsick.
My grandma is an awesome cook. Unfortunately, she is no longer awesome at staying alive. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Nick Rinker, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput and Sierra Wiley.
All right, that's our show. Next up tonight, we're going to have the White Noise After Show, as always, where I, Sierra, Simon, and Connor will have a little bit of chit-chat. We'll play some awesome music. So, yeah, what do you guys think of that one? On topic for the day?
Yeah, I tried. I was.
What do you mean you tried?
Well, we all tried.
Yeah,
all
there we go. Credit where credit's due.
Woof.
Sierra wrote to the sketches.
She did write to the sketches. She was.
I got credit. I felt good about it.
Yeah, she was
talking
the longest sketch in the thing as well.
Connor's just really butthurt all the time because it's not his show yet.
You're right, Connor. That sketch did go on a bit. Well done.
saying that, oh, I tried. It's a team effort, man.
I thought she was addressing me directly. I answered
Why
her
Why are you holding your breasts?
Because they're sore. No. In terms of Women's Day, I'm trying to be empathetic. Sorry.
And on that topic, for our chit-chat tonight, we're going to talk about some of
Let's call it a debate. Chit-chat sounds like we get heavier than chit-chat.
You always call it chit-chat. Always call it chit-chat. It's double standards here. Don't stand for this. Put him in his place.
No, I respect him as a director, and I mean to a certain extent.
He doesn't deserve any.
Anyway, so we're going to have a little bit of debate, but I mean, I don't think we drastically disagree about women's rights on this show.
Oh, it's going to be good tonight.
Anyway, a couple of topics. We're going to talk about the pressure or if there's some sort of tendency for women who are artists or creatives to have to target female audiences in their art. We're going to talk a little bit about how gender roles or feminism affect men. Because that's what we want to talk about on International Women's Day. And then also we're going to talk about where we think feminism is needed most.
Cool.
Yeah, and so first up tonight, we're going to have a little bit of music. First song is called Told You I'd Be With the Guys by Cherry Glazer.
I told you I'd be with the guys.
First off, that was Cherry Glazer with Told You I'd Be With the Guys from their album Apocalyptic. And second, that was Ostra with Future Politics from Future Politics. Pretty groovy stuff, huh?
Yeah, cool
not
tracks.
Not bad.
We're going all femcom today in honor of it being International Women's Day. And we've got some good set lists, a good set list lined up.
That means female content for those who wonder what the hell femcon is.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like an acronym, right? That sort
it's
of
the better.
I know, I was just explaining it.
It's the better Comic-Con that only women are allowed to attend.
That sounds a bit sexist, but I'm going to let it slide.
All right, to get into our first debate topic, I would like to ask you guys, is there a tendency or some sort of pressure for women, female artists to sort of target female audiences in their art or writing?
I feel like you should start.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a lot of passionate ideas about this one.
Well, it feels weird if I ask and answer my own question. But anyway.
But you give us your thoughts first and let's go from there.
So this question was based off of the sketch, which maybe you guys guess was mine, maybe not, the publishing sketch. So basically the idea behind this is I've noticed a bit of a tendency that it seems like a lot of female artists, really great work, it seems to be devoted to very like female-centric issues, which I believe is kind of limiting in a certain sort of way. And I kind of fear that you're taken away from having this universality to your work that can be enjoyed by everyone if you're just constantly devoting it to women. And I think like early on in the fight for equality, there's this need to kind of like bring people up to a certain level by giving a lot of support and building women up. But I think once you're on a certain level of equality, you have to push to that and beyond it, or maybe not beyond it, by having more universal works.
Right. Because, yeah, I mean, it's funny. It reminded me of one of my first year creative writing classes, and the teacher saying, and just so you know, could I have no more stories about a down on her luck prostitute, please?
Yeah. Oh, I think I had that too. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So, you know, and that's clearly probably a theme that
that's
the female writers.
That's stuck in your cords, isn't it? You're like, oh, that was my first idea.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, that never even occurred to me. So I'm guessing that's, you know, typically something, yeah, that female writers would go to. So that to me sort of perhaps suggests that there's something systematic about it, in that like, people who aren't even in the industry are already sort of like by default sort of leading towards those sort of topics which feel very woman-centric in a lot of ways.
I suppose also, so like as a person who's being raised in our sort of 21st century, increasingly feministic and hopefully increasingly equal society,
at least in the
when
West.
When you're creating art, you're sharing a certain of your own perspectives, a certain kind of summation of what you've experienced, and in that way, I imagine that a lot of your experiences as a woman would be about empowerment and about the fight for women's issues, or at least the proximity to achieving them. So I wonder if it is if it would be unnatural to divide from that, considering the historical circumstances, perhaps.
Well, I just think growing up as a very, like I would say, a strong young woman who was interested in pursuing creative things, I was always most empowered by believing that I could do anything a man could do, that I could write something that both men and women would enjoy, that I didn't have to be limited by my sex to only write something that was about love, about marriage, about children, and not only seeing that type of content, but seeing that over time and time again, seeing that women are much, much, much more likely to write romance novels, to write novels that men aren't going to pick up, it kind of saddens me because it feels like there's this sort of wasted potential. And if I could feel that I could relate to the content that male authors were putting forth, isn't there a certain universality that you're not necessarily seeing with other artists?
Yeah, I mean, but we have to be careful with, as always, with generalizations, in that you could just as equally say that there are a lot of men who write very men sort of, or your Tom Clancy's, even Dan Brown. I know Da Vinci Code was read by a lot of people, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty crap. But there is that, but there's always exceptions, and there's always the pioneers, and then I think we're in this sort of middle stage now where we are post-feminism in a lot of senses, mm-hmm. but what we aren't in is the age when it's completely normalized, to the point where we don't talk about it anymore, to the point where it's so normal that it's, you know, it's not even something that you would bring up the same way that we don't talk about like Irish problems with like Irish people in America being victimized and discriminated against.
You should go to Chicago. St. Paddy's Day. Ooh, big time.
but it's basically a non-issue now.
Yeah.
And that's because children today aren't sort of brought, you know, no one's brought up with prejudice of that sort, and it's an issue of past generations, mm-hmm. but our parents' generation probably grew up with like bits and pieces of that still around. You know, my grandparents came over from Ireland to Britain, and but you know, even they probably when they were younger had issues like that, but it would be unheard of, I think, now in Britain to sort of make those disgusting comments of any sort against Irish people. So it's you know, that it is, unfortunately, it's not going to be our generation, and it might not, it probably won't be our children's, but our children's children might be at that point. They may very well, at least in this country, experience a sort of complete normalcy of it that is not an issue. And you can see that in kids today, where they're like, they're, you know, they don't, they're being taught, thankfully, to see each other as equals. And they're not like, even I grew up in school and we had separate PE classes and wore different types of uniform, which distinctly made us male and female. And, you know, there was all these subtle, systematic things that were done to still create a divide, even though the words that came out of people's mouths that we were equal when I was a kid, but there was, you know, and because we've become so much more conscious of these subtle things that do divide people and do create these problems still, that, and we are getting rid of them and we're conquering them, that I do have hope that one day it won't be an issue.
Can you disconnect feminism and women's issues from what you've suggested is could be an alternate universality?
Can you extrapolate?
So you sort of use the example of, like, oh, so women write romance novels, and I think that's a very particular sort of women's literature. I think there's many other ways you could be write about women's issues, about feminism, and not have to not be sunk into that particular genre. So in terms of writing as a feminist, is it possible to disengage yourself from writing about feminism and women's issues and writing about and instead writing about universal themes, or is feminism in itself a sort of universal theme?
I think you can, but it's if you have a character and you neglect that part of their history in the way that you write for them, then you could potentially doing a disservice to the character. I mean, personally, when I write female characters, I try to follow the George R. R. Martin, which is, he was asked, why do you write such great female characters? He's like, because I just pretend, like, I don't pretend, but I just write as if they were men. I don't think of them as different. I don't write their voice as a female voice. I just write them as a person and how I think that person with those traits would behave and act.
So does that suggest he's just giving them masculine traits?
No, because that's the thing. There is in his eyes and in other people's eyes, like, the when we talk about masculine traits, you're really just talking about aggression and these cliches of masculinity. And yes, some characters will have those cliches and some of them won't, depending on their personal traits, regardless of their sex.
Yeah, and I wanted to pick up on an idea you talked about, having that complexity to characters and how you wouldn't want to completely ignore it. And I totally agree. I think to have, like, a really interesting, robust character who's a woman in whatever work you have, that you should give sort of a feminist angle to it if you're writing from a feminist perspective. But I think that you can have women who are strong writers who are feminists that don't only write about feminism. And I think that's what I'm really trying to get at, that I think there's a space for writing so much about women's issues, but I also think there's a space for just, like, women writing about other things that are interesting, writing about things that they're really passionate about, and the complexity of women being equal to men is more than just writing about feminism all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as, in my opinion, as, like, writing an adventure story about a girl who goes on an adventure and, you know, gets through it, has trials and tribulations, and comes out the better for it without any sense of her needing strength from outside, except the typical support that a male character would also get.
Can you defend that as not being feministic?
Well,
because feminism, I think, in many ways, if you're in this sort of situation, so you write for yourself in a certain sense. You're always writing sort of for yourself. The term in some sense, like feminist or whatever, it sort of comes from the outside. It's what others make of your work, right? And that's,
sometimes,
I think, kind of what you're alluding
to
in the sketch. It's like someone else is trying to tell you what your writing is, in a certain sense. So,
but, like, let's use an example from something we've all read, which is, like, The Men Who Came, which we did a couple of and we did last month.
Yes,
which has a female lead character who at one point discusses her relationships, but she also asked the male counterparts to discuss their relationships.
Yep.
And she talks about herself as a very individual person, and, like, her selfhood is not, she has this love that still remains for her husband who's dead, and, like, and, you know, she, but that's nothing to do with her being a woman. That's to do with her being someone who's lost a love.
But she is the strong, arguably she's the strongest character in that play. She certainly controls the scene through force.
She has
also
a strong personality.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But so can you disconnect a woman with a strong personality from what we consider to be feminism, in a sense? Because feminism is about women having weaker personalities because they've been subordinated.
No, but that's the thing. If you just write something that has a mixture, you have some characters who are strong and they happen to be women, and you have some characters who are weaker-willed and they happen to be women. Like, it's just that it as long as you're not writing that because they're women, you would say it's feminist, but it's not. It's just the point is to normalize it. If I'm not going into it with the thought of I'm gonna show that women are as strong as men, that's not the intention. So it's not a feminist piece. Then it's not at least a feminist piece in the sense that it's trying to push an agenda. It's just, you know, otherwise you could say that literally anything that isn't bigoted is then feminist, but that's not really the point. The point is that having feminism is about equality and about moving beyond differences, and so at some point, if it's not abhorrent, then it's feminist, but that just means it's normal, really, eventually, is hopefully what it means. It's just that it's not offensive.
I think there are many ways that a work of art, a piece of literature, a comedy show can be regarded as feminist or not. But I think a big part of how I would see it is if the female characters in your show or the female voices are being regarded as having a complexity that's more than just their relation to the men around them. So in certain TV shows, if the only way that the woman is featured is by her being a love interest or a sister or a mother, then you get into things that feminism has such issue with. I can't remember the name of the test, but it's like if there are two female characters.
The Bechdel test?
Right. That it's like two female characters talking about something other than a man. And there are so many movies and TV shows that don't pass that test because it's just about who are these women in relation to the men around them. So can they have a complex conversation, an interesting conversation about something that's other than the relationships? And I'm really hopeful when I see those types of scenes taking place. And fortunately, we live in a world where that type of art is being put forth, I think, more and more people are encouraged. I just think we help women out when we show each other that there's something more than just pandering.
Stereotype or, like,
yeah.
Totally. All right, should we go for a song and then we'll come back, do some more chit-chat?
Yeah, let's go for a song. This is going to be Cuddle Magic with Slow Rider.
Let the world go by.
Welcome back. All right, now we're going to jump into our next topic, which is, and a quick explanation. So we're going to talk about how men relate to feminism and gender roles. And this might seem a bit contradictory to tonight's idea, but we believe that women's roles have kind of been chatted about quite a bit in relation to feminism. So I thought it'd be an interesting angle to see what these guys have to say about men with feminism.
All right. So, Connor, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's funny. Feminism is a thing to me that I would say I'm a feminist for sure. It's not something that I think about too much because, like, the way I've been raised, my family, I've been surrounded by two sisters and a mum, very strong characters, each of them. I've known a lot of strong female characters. I still have this problem where I don't see a lot of the inequality because I like to think I treat women just as men. Like, everyone's the same as others.
He's scared of all of us.
Yeah, exactly. and of course, I recognize historical processes and the disequality that still exists, and I still want to support women in their fight for equality in the workplace, in society, in breaking down gender roles and gender norms. And so in that way, it affects me in a very, very sort of passive day-to-day basis. I can't say I go out and do rallies. I can't say I'm an active supporter in it. But it does make a difference to me because I want to know that the values I hold dear are ones that everyone should hold dear. And I want to be able to, try and help people realize that gender roles are constructed and break those down. And I want everyone to be treated the way that a human should be treated, like with dignity, with respect, and have the opportunities to achieve what they want.
Of course, there's not much to argue with there, but I will I will add to that is that for me, like I personally, I'm really a big proponent of the other side of feminism, that it's about also shaving away these nonsense ideas of masculinity.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get at as well.
Because, it's personally affected me, and I've had relatives who haven't sought help and have, committed suicide, and it was guys, and to me that says that he didn't feel like he could find any help, and didn't, there's clearly something in society that made him feel like he couldn't reach out, and he had no options there, and that that really obviously pains me. And so this is on a personal level why it's so important to me to really embed in men that there's no, like, the idea of being this hero, this macho-ness, it's bollocks, it's all bollocks, and the sooner we realize that, the better we'll all be, because it's so, and it's not just entrenched in these personal issues, like it's entrenched even in like politics, this idea of bravado and needing to be the strong man. Like, look at who we've got running America. Like, if he could whip his cock out to prove he had it, he would. Like, it's like, you
hasn't he?
only when there's teenage models around.
Oh.
The world in general would just be a lot better if we got over ourselves and realized that, trying to empathize with each other and compassion and trying to see each other eye to eye and understand each other and have patience and all those things that we talk about them being feminine, but they're just good qualities is really what they are. They're good human qualities. And the sooner we get to a level where we all are embracing them, the better we'll all be.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I'm really glad you brought up that second half of feminism, because I believe that's often kind of disregarded, quite to the, I think, the misfortune of the greater cause, because it goes so hand in hand, this idea of kind of taking down this super machoistic culture. And you see that those types of cultures that really value the strong man and hyper masculinity are also the most like aggressive towards women, and the ones with the worst sort of abuse, domestic violence, those rates are terribly skyrocketing. They're quite high. In countries that are more conservative, you've got like a strong idea of a men's role versus a women's role. And if you have feminism kind of trying to rebalance that a little bit more, I think it's such an important role. And it's so cool as a woman to see guys who are very feminist and who recognize that disparity in gender roles and want to fight it. Because sometimes you can kind of just feel like it's only a women's battle, but it's so nice to know that it's not.
Yeah, and it's weird for me in that I, like, there are times when I can, like, feel myself, like, almost in a reflexive action to things, and realizing that is, like, programming in it. It's, like, a great example is one of my guilty pleasures a few years ago was watching The Ultimate Fighter, which is this reality TV show where guys try and get a UFC contract. So they did a spin-off, Ultimate Fighter Brazil. And these Brazilian guys, you know, are macho in every sense of the word. They beat each other to crap for money. And yet they would, like, lose a fight or, like, just have a tough day and they'd break down in tears. And they'd all be, like, hugging and, like, you know, supporting each other in such a way. And you see that a little bit in North American sport. But what was weird for me was this, like, feeling of, like, not uncomfortable, but just surprise. And, like, I don't think I could do that. I honestly don't think at the moment I'd feel super comfortable in a room full of guys just breaking down into tears. I'd feel like a tit.
It's almost like they're actors.
Yeah, and that was one of the things I was trying to get at in my other sketch tonight, which was talking about the way that men interact with their friends and the sentimentality that is allowed and encouraged. And I think, Simon, you and I were having an interesting conversation the other day about the way that male friends talk with each other versus how female friends talk with each other. And I'm like, I love having the support of other women who can be very honest about their feelings, and you can kind of feel really lifted up by the way that your friends talk about you. And then I haven't because I can't really be a fly on the wall for when you two hang out necessarily. I don't know what your interactions are like with each other, but I feel there's often this sort of lost sentimentality where you can't fully express who you are with all of your feelings, so you can kind of inhibit that for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's quite that bad, especially like certain relationships I have, just as the same with women, like you have more superficial relationships with women,
and then
you have the deeper ones.
I think for us, we just kind of tear through each other's bullshit. Like, rip each other down to our core individuals and say, that's you. Get rid of this facade. Which is a much more aggressive way of achieving perhaps a similar aim.
We do that. It's just with red wine and, like, nice words.
Yeah, it's less subtext with me and Connor. Yeah.
You guys are just mean to each other. I don't know how you could compliment each
funny.
Other.
It also helps you develop a bit
I
of a
I dare
thin
you.
Skin.
You each have one heartfelt compliment for each other. Right now.
Right now.
Simon, I think you have a lot of motivation and drive. I think you're a great artist.
Oh, that's really sweet. I like your curly hair.
Sorry.
And
that
sums
up
everything.
I was projecting myself onto you, I think.
See, they can't get through one honest compliment jokes.
Can you prove that your friends aren't just projecting what they want you to say back to them onto you?
There might be a little bit of that. Maybe. But I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt, myself the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there's one last point. We're getting at running out of time, but one last point is that one thing that I was actually through like a Reddit AMA or something I was reading, and I read this thing that I just thought was so sad, and I think is something really important to highlight, is that like a lot of guys on this subreddit were talking about how they go literally years without getting a single compliment, not just from other men, but from like women in their lives too. Like they just, you know, they go through, you know, they don't get that sort of just, you know, and it's only little things. And, you know, literally like they're saying, like, I could go a year without someone mentioning that I look nice or that I, you know, anything like that. And I just think that's so sad that there's so many guys out there who, yeah, maybe they just need a compliment and they, you know, and I know I'm not saying pity all men or anything like that, but, you know, on some level, you should, if you are an empathetic person, you should feel some empathy for people like that. Otherwise, you know, you're missing the point if you want equality, that this is part of it, is being able to reach out and, you know, let people in.
It's
like
interesting,
that.
Though, the difference between pity and empathy.
Mm.
That is a very fine, we don't have time to go into it, I think we're out of time, isn't
yeah.
it? But there's actually a very intense debate to be had there, I think, in regards to like when you compliment someone, are you just pitying them or are you genuinely trying to make them a stronger person?
Yeah. But I hope with feminism we can get to a point where that situation, Simon, you're describing hopefully becomes more of a thing of the past. Anyway, that's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll be back next week, of course, at 9 for the White Noise Show. All right, we'll leave you with that. Thank you.
And next up tonight is Rad Women of Color in Music. Enjoy.
Your last hours of International Women's Day. I'm joined in studio by my lovely close friend, Gada. Hi, Gada. Do you want to just, like, introduce yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name is Gada. I'm a fourth-year student at UBC. I'm studying gender, race, sexuality, and social justice.
Yay.
And I'm here to play some tunes today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same. I'm also studying GRSJ, which is where I met Gata. We're also in the GRSJ Undergrad Association. So yeah, we try to materialize a lot of the things we learn and get to get people together over the topics we learn. So what are we doing this hour? What is specific to our hour that's different from what's been